Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
Thank you for joining us on Cowboy Church. Russ, I was just thinking before the camera started, there's lots of people out there that are hurting. And Sometimes we take hey, we're glad you're here, and hey, everything's great and wonderful, and we're all up. And there may be a person on the other side of that camera that has lost their family, lost a loved one. And I just feel like today we just need to tell you that we're here for you, that your neighbors are here for you. Maybe you feel alone. Maybe things are not going good for you. And maybe you're a farmer or rancher that bought cows when it was so stinking high and now they're so low and you're wondering what you're going to do to pay off your debt at the bank.
Sure.
That's what Cowboy Church is for. We're here to encourage you today. And we just want to tell you, as co-hosts of Cowboy Church, tune in. God may speak to you today and encourage your heart.
And you know, the beauty of what Susie's saying here is that we can't help you. We can't fix you. All we're trying to do is encourage you to tap into the one who we know can fix. The great physician. He's also a great manager. He also owns the cattle on 1,000 mm-hmm. hills. Mm-hmm. Worth about half as what, much as what they were last month.
Exactly. You know?
He's been there. Wherever you're at, he sent his son so that he could be where we are. And we encourage you today, get a hold of something. Get a hold of something. Don't let it just slide clear off mm-hmm. the side of the mountain. God will give you something to hang on to, all right?
That's exactly right. He wants to partner with you. He is your advocate. He's a good, good partner. Stay tuned for Cowboy Church.
This is a song that Paul Overstreet wrote a few years ago. And that's my prayer in my life. You know, when we get our age, some of us, a little over the halfway mark, we want to make it count. Hungry for the good life all the days of my youth. I placed my plans and dreams before you. But now's the time to build again, and this time on your truth. Whatever you ask of me, I'll do. Won't you teach me, Lord, to seek your face, not just the works of your hand. In perfect submission, undertake the great commission you have planned. And though I long to see the many wonders that your hands can do, first I must learn to follow you. Standing at another crossroad in my life, wondering how the plans have all gone wrong. I realized I was the maker of my own strife. And where did my priorities go wrong? Won't you teach me, Lord, to seek your face, not just the work of your hand. In perfect submission, undertake the great commission you have planned. And though I long to see the many wonders that your hands can do, first I must learn to follow. First, I must learn to follow you. Teach me, Lord, to follow you. Amen. How many of y'all are married? Got families. Married, families, keep them up, keep them up. How many of y'all can truthfully say that you got here this morning without any arguments or any strife? Wow. Give yourselves a big hand clap. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, this is a song that talks about marriage, and I don't know about y'all, but Sunday morning was always the big test for our family. If anything went wrong, it was on Sunday morning. It was like, I can't even get there. I don't even want to go at this rate. But it was, wasn't it wonderful when you touched the doorknob on the church house, your whole disposition changed. You went from, I hate your guts, to, oh, everything's wonderful. Isn't God good? So this is a song that you can just let down and we'll be all right with all of it, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, you know, she's absolutely right. Sometimes love's a blessing, and sometimes we get hurt. The good times couldn't be better, and the bad times couldn't get worse. And sometimes we gently whisper, and other times we scream and shout. But honey, when the smoke clears, we always seem to work things out. And we're closer than ever, safer in each other's arms. That's what you get for holding on. Now they say what doesn't break you will only make you strong. We learn whether we're right or wrong. What we've got is a tried and true emotional common bond. That's what you get for holding on. Man, it'd be a good time to reach around your wife and give her a big old snuggle up. Now sometimes I lean on you, and sometimes you lean on me. We share the good and bad times. Jumping on the bed, and then there were always those times you'd get hurt right in the midst of it. You know what my mama used to say? Y'all know it. That's what you get. That's what you get. In southeastern Oklahoma, you don't say get, it's get. You hear? Come on.
Well, they say what doesn't break you will only make you strong. We learn to count on each other, whether we're what we've got is a tried and true emotional common bond. That's what you get for holding on. Oh, that's what you get for holding on.
That's what you get. If you sow love, you're going to reap love. If you sow that joy we were talking about a few minutes ago, you're going to reap that joy.
Today I'm going to be preaching about faithful trust. It's kind of a bit of an add-on. It's taken from Galatians chapter 3, but the verse of scripture that I'm using for a text happens to be in Hebrews. Hebrews is a faith chapter, and Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I love this part. Without faith, it's impossible to... How many of you would like to be able to please God? Sure. I think everybody would like to please God. Considering the alternative, it would be a good thing for us. Because anyone who comes to him must... This is a prerequisite. Prerequisite to experiencing God. Must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And I know the question always comes up. I thought this thing was free. No, it's not free. It's been purchased. It's purchased by someone else. There's still a price on it. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that you'd open our hearts and our minds to receive, and especially our hearts to receive what you have for us, Lord. God, I pray you'd activate our spiritual connection with you, and we would be able to connect. Lord, I pray for every person here. God, I pray that revelation would happen in their heart and in their mind, and they'd be able to see how this whole faith thing actually works. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've got a couple of things. They're kind of prerequisites to understanding what the message is. It says the word faith, and if you look over at the side, you probably don't know what that number 4102, and it's P-I-S-T-I-S. And 4101 is P-I-S-T-O-S. And what this is, just so you understand, how many of you have ever done that kid's painting thing that's called paint by number? Yeah. I understand. Those of you who raised your hands fit into this category of wannabe artist. And I'm part of that. I can claim that. Because wannabe artists, what we'll do is we'll get the number and we'll put the art color in that was supposed to be in there, the designated for that number, and we try to stay inside the lines. And when we get done, then we have kind of a work of art. At least it's the picture that was there. And for those of you who are those of us who struggle with the ability to make the art go onto the paper like it is in our minds, paint by number is a wonderful tool for us. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. This is out of the Greek dictionary. I have a Bible that has all these important words and has a little number by them. I go to the Greek dictionary, and that is a Greek word, P-I-S-T-I-S. I won't attempt to pronounce it, but there's P-I-S-T-I-S and P-I-S-T-O-S. And basically, what that has is this. It's the order of the words that are used for faith and faithful. Now, in English, faith is the root word. It's really simple. Faith is a root word. F-U-L is a suffix you put on the end of faith. That means that faithful is derived from faith. But in the Greek, it's kind of backwards. And I say kind of because it's not an absolute positive backwards, but it's really close. The root word, or closer to the root word, is the word faithful. And then P-I-S-T-O-S, faith, is a derivative from the word of faithful. So we have it backwards in English. It's hard for us to understand faith. So when I'm reading in the translation that's called the Complete Jewish Bible, the translation there, when they're using the word faith that comes from faithfulness, they put the word in English as trust. They trust. And then we go back to... Well, let me set the criteria up here for just a little bit. Always, the word P-I-S-T-I-S is the word faith, and it's God's divine persuasion. It is always, always a gift from God. It's never generated by us. Now, that's a hard deal, because the Bible says if you're going to be a Christian, you have to believe in your heart. But it says believe. There's a small little slash between believe, even though sometimes in the New Testament, the word believe is used where the word faith should be used, and the word faith is used where the word believe should be used. But there's really a small difference. And the small difference is believe is the thing that I have to do. I believe in something. If you're going to be saved, you must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them, or He exists, then He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But for faith to happen, I like this. For faith to happen, it has to be a divine encounter from God Himself planting faith in us, hearing God personally. When Rhema happens, then because of that, then God, with His Word, He develops faith in us, because God never breaks His Word. And if He says it to us, that space between when He said it and when it happens, that's the era or time span that is called our faithful time span. It's the exercise of our faith because of the word that was spoken, which brings faith to us. So we become faithful because God's faithful. God spoke, Rhema. And because God spoke and faith is derived from faithful, He speaks into our heart. He drops faith into our heart. And because of that, then we're able to operate as a faithful person doing what's been instructed. Now, if that's really confusing, I'll say it again for you. God's faithful. How many would agree God's faithful? God's faithful. God speaks. How many of you agree that God speaks? Now, there's where the little breakdown happens. When God speaks, we need to be in a position to hear. When we hear from God, that word we hear is Rhema. When Rhema happens, because of God speaking, what it does, it drops a seed of God's faithfulness into our heart. And what we receive from that is faith. And then when we operate in that faith, we become faithful. So God is, God speaks, we hear, we do. It's distinct from human belief, yet it involves it. It involves our belief, because we have to believe to begin this encounter with God. But our belief is not what faith is. Faith is after we hear. See, let me explain it this way. In the old days of the early faith movement, I get a little tickled at them, the way they used to be, and they've moved on beyond that. But everybody used to be claiming a Cadillac. They would say, by faith, I'm claiming this Cadillac. I remember in the hometown that we lived in, there was a young man that was just taken by that. He wasn't faithful to anything else, but bless God, he was claiming a Cadillac. He wouldn't come to church, but one day he gets this old rattle trap Cadillac, and he is so proud that his faith really came through. And I don't think that that's what the process is. I don't think by you saying it more and more repetitiously and faster and slower and louder makes any difference, because what really makes difference is when we pray to when God speaks, and then when that word is dropped into us, then we operate. That's how faith works. If God didn't intend for you to have a Cadillac, He's not going to speak it into your life. And if He doesn't speak it into your life, I don't care how much you speak it, it's not going to happen. Because you don't have the power in your words without God backing it up by first giving His word. Does that make sense? Okay, I've talked too much on that one. Refers to a warranty. I love this. A warranty certifies that the revelation that God gave you will come to pass. That's what faith is. When God speaks, it's a warranty. Your belief system, your hope system, your prayers have caused something to happen. God speaks. I mean, you haven't caused it to happen. You prayed until God speaks. And when God speaks, He's certifying that what you were praying for, what you were hoping for, what you were believing for, He goes, okay, this is not it. It's going to happen this way. So wait a minute, didn't you just contradict yourself? No, I didn't. Because it's not us that has the authority, it's God. And sometimes when we pray, when we get close enough to God, God will say, you know, I appreciate your time with me, but your prayers are not in line with my will. Here, this is how it works. In other words, no. How would you be if you were a parent and you couldn't say no to your kids? See, that's not going to work. He's in authority, so sometimes he says, this is a no answer. And sometimes he says, you know you're on the right track, so this is a wait answer. And sometimes he even goes, well, this is a maybe answer. Because there are times in the Bible where God's flexible. And sometimes he says, well, this is a contingent. If, then it'll happen. And then sometimes he goes, man, I've been waiting for you to ask. Here it is. It's not a virtue that can be worked up by human effort. That's not where faith comes from. Now, I do understand that there is a human effort to it. If you're going to hear God, you have to be in the right place to hear God. Here's the places you can hear God. You can hear God while I'm preaching. The Bible says, through the foolishness of preaching, now he doesn't commend us very good on that deal. Through the foolishness of preaching, God has ordained that men be saved. Men don't get saved until they hear from God. So through the foolishness of preaching, you can hear from God. God can draw you, and when God does this, that's better. When God does this on your little heart, and you respond, you've heard from God. It's him drawing. No man comes to the Father unless the Father draws him. And when the Father draws you, you have a chance to commit your life to Christ. You know, people say, well, I can just ask God into my life anytime I want. No. You don't come until the Father draws. That's why it's so important to us, if the Father draws, that we respond. Hey, we get things all mixed up. It involves hearing his voice. So you can hear the voice when you hear him preaching. You can hear his voice when you're reading the word. See, the word itself is called logos. But when it becomes alive, or God speaks through that into your life, and it I don't know how to explain it to you, it just becomes personal. It hits me. Sometimes I just begin to weep. I realize that God is speaking through reading the word. You're not going to get that if you don't read the word. You're going to miss out on what God is speaking to your heart if you don't go through the logos process. See, part of us hearing from God, part of us living in faith, is being in the right place for God to be able to operate in our lives. Going to church, listen to the preacher, read your Bible. You know, another place is in prayer. And God speaks to people when they're praying. There are people who say, I never hear from God. Well, let's go through the criteria here. Are you faithful to church? Are you faithful to read your Bible? Are you faithful to have a little prayer time? Are you open during, you know, God doesn't really need anything to be able to speak to you.